Today is Wednesday, April the 12th, 2017, the day of the Recovery Plan Review Committee meeting. The time is now
2
p.m.
Hey, hey.
Give me a moment, I'm just going to
take his time. Okay.
Can I turn this on?
Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Carl?
How are you?
And you know, Ecuador is now number 2 or number 3 of places for U.S. retirees to go and retire now.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Because you can, like Costa Rica a few years ago, now Ecuador, you can buy a 3-bedroom house with 2 bathrooms, new, in front of the water for about $40,000. So, yeah. And then... they said, you know, everything else is really inexpensive. So.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
good.
How you doing there?
Oh, damn, look at, I'm glad I didn't sit, because that sucker kept rolling.
All right. Well, we'll see if we can get out of it.
She had just doors closed.
I didn't know she was this one.
She went to the bar.
Oh, okay. Is the recorder on?
You have a pen?
Brenda.
Sir.
Is that on?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
You're ready.
Okay. It's now 2:02 and we call the Recovery Committee to order. And today is the Thursday, March 16th, 2017. We stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands. One nation,
indivisible,
with liberty and justice for all.
Moment of silence. Thank you. For the record, Commissioner Hall is out of the country, and so.
I hope they let him back in.
Present is Ben Stevenson, the CEO, Carlos Perez, Bill Valley Brown, Brenda Goodman-Speed, and Commissioner Pimentel is with us today also. Quorum haven't been established. Yeah, I've reviewed the minutes and I wasn't here last week, so the last meeting, Commissioner Hall was present, so then we'll deal with the minutes.
Another meeting.
Okay, we'll go right into the old business, the LHA recovery plan update.
Before we do that, before I forget, I was at an event at my daughter's school mm-hmm. the night, and they opened it up because the hospital, like, been like the National Junior Honor Society.
Uh-oh.
They did the Pledge of Allegiance. Would you believe that it was about 20 people who wouldn't stand?
Is that right?
But I'm at the, out of school. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow.
Well, they're quarterback for that.
Everybody's yeah. exercising their rights, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
That gets scary after a while.
Yeah. But with the recovery plan, started with Westlake. The city completed their review of the RFPs, and they again recommend award of the private vouchers to the Westlake project. And so now we sent that to HUD, Jacksonville, for them to approve the award. And I guess it's been about 2 or 3 weeks now, and we haven't heard anything from them. And so I don't see how they could, anything they could, any reason not to reject it. Because the one thing we missed for the first review, I made sure that that was included. And went through the same process and everything, complied with the regs. So. Mm-hmm. And then with the green reuse application, the developer advised that that was approved. And so now they're going to apply for a Federal Home Loan Bank funding. And depending upon the size of the grant that they receive from Federal Home Loan Bank, they may ask to move the loan for phase one over to phase two, $790,000 that mm-hmm. was going to give them. And we were okay with that. You know, should they do that, because we're going to try and make the project work as best we can. And then with the comments received from HUD on the demo dispo application, I have just about finished writing up the response mm-hmm. to them. Mm-hmm. I think they appreciate the response. I was able to speak with a colleague that has recently had a demo dispo application approved, and so modeled my responses after their responses, and I think we should give everything they can. We need to approve that. In fact, we got some transmitters already as well, should help. And so, with that was the all the good news of phase one. The bad news of phase one is that I got a call from the developer today. We had a meeting, this was like a week ago, and in the meeting, they told about they wanted to privatize the streets in Westlake. And I've always been opposed to doing that because I don't want the responsibility of having to maintain the streets and then allow buildings associated with that. And they were saying that they already privatized, and I was like, I don't think so, because the city's been servicing those streets. And but they're now trying to tell me that if we don't privatize the street, it doesn't make the deal work. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to have a conversation with the architect about that. And I look as I know that I don't appreciate having something dropped in my lap at the last minute mm-hmm. and telling me that, you know, if you don't do this, the deal is going to, you know, fall apart. And especially something that could potentially create a hardship for the housing authority. And so we'll see where that goes. We indeed may not have a choice
yeah.
but to privatize it. But again,
was, then they seem, they're saying that was part of the original proposal.
It wasn't part of the original proposal, but as they were doing their due diligence, you know, they made that decision without consulting us.
Yeah,
because yeah. Just like on phase one, we got, we didn't see the drawing to a 9% now. You know, and that's not mm-hmm. good. And so,
what's the financial impact?
I don't know the details yet. I got the people that architect to find all that out.
So it's maintaining the streets, huh?
Yeah.
Keeping them in.
But the good thing is that nobody would know that we own them. Hopefully, you know. And, and that they'll try and sue the city should anything happen on those streets.
That's a bad thing to own the streets. Yeah, and that's why in my community, we don't have it gated. And they specifically told them, everyone is always, gate the community gate. The moment you gate it, it's yours.
Yeah.
And once it's yours, it's expensive to maintain the streets.
That's why I asked.
You have to pave it, you got to fix it, there's something wrong with it, it's on us. I don't think we have the money to be fixing those streets.
Well, where I live, we spend about $57,000 every year. And it's not a big community. Just maintaining the streets.
Yeah.
Which, you know, in some place that can mean cash flowing or not. So.
And we don't have an HOA, it's just on us. Mm-hmm. What people don't realize, you got a gated community, you have an HOA, your rates go up.
Yeah.
Because you're going to pay for that, them to maintain the streets.
Right.
Well, plus it also makes me wonder about, I mean, if you think about on the footprint of the site, you're putting the infrastructure in. So typically when the city owns the streets, they know it ties into a certain point and all that sewer, it seemed like we would be getting the whole bill on anything.
Yeah.
So I don't understand why the deal would not work.
Because when you're talking streets, you're
part of the conversation.
Yeah. Because that rationale makes no sense to me.
And we'll be part of the conversation with Steve for a long time.
Because streets is not only the top layer, everything is
everything below.
Mm-hmm.
The sewage and all
everything.
That. You know, come on, that's insane.
And that's what they didn't want to have to pay for bringing the level up.
I bet you they negotiated that impact fee by having the street, because the city says cheaper to waive the impact fee than to maintain the streets.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be cheaper for us to replace the impact fee than for us to have the streets indefinitely.
Because that's
the only thing I think it
so
could
that's
be.
Something you're going to have to check out.
Yeah, the discussion. We may not be able to do anything about it, but we're going to definitely have the discussion and let the owner know we're not happy about that. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then with phase two, they have another focusing bond award, and they're looking at ways to finance the deal. Oh, and with phase one, the price did drop from 113. They're now expecting about $1 per credit, okay, which is not bad, but 113 is better. But,
and that's on phase one.
Yes, and they're currently shopping the credits for phase one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean phase two. I'm sorry. And then with and that's all on Westlake, and that's all I have some questions. The environmentals. Previously, the city identified all of the properties within the city of Lakeland. In the county, there's the one for John Wright, the environmental assessment for the public health units, properties rather. And we had to post in the newspaper for a couple of weeks. That was 2 weeks, should be done now. And so we good with the funding.
I have to send everything to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. I knew that today was the major milestone because you have to meet 90% obligation on the 2015 funds. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to let today pass and then, you know, follow up because I know they're going to be scrambling. He had 12 housing authorities that, as of April 1st, weren't 90% obligated, so they were putting all their resources toward that, of which we were one of them.
But we got it done.
We got it done. So that's why I'll just wait until tomorrow morning before following up with him, because I know he's slammed and they're short-staffed.
That's
going
out of Tallahassee?
Jacksonville. Well, we got the relocation plan is basically written. I just need to tweak a couple of things, and it'll be finalized. And with Westlake, Miami, who has all of the development review experience, is saying, no, that ain't ours, that's Jacksonville. And I'm pretty sure that when I send it to Jacksonville, they would say, no, that's Miami. So what I'll do is I'm going to send it to both of them.
And then they're going to say, no, that's Alaska.
Yeah, right. And so, but, you know, we'll see. In a 10th Street commercial, even though it's not ours, is looking real good. They're moving right along.
Yeah, they got the shell of the building up almost.
Yeah.
They put the roof on. And, they're moving, boy.
Yeah, they're not messing around. They're like, sales are going away. We need to hurry up and get them. And we submitted that as an article with the Fall newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll send one for Williamstown as well. Press release, but we're trying to schedule a groundbreaking, and we're going with the taking order of Congressman Ross, and then City Council Chairman, and we're trying to keep it on Wednesday, so that is when the chairman's available, and we'll, of course, we'll invite all of the board, too, once we schedule it and everything. And, so we got some housing going on with the Lakewood Housing Authority.
A lot of wonderful things coming out of this housing authority since I've been here.
Mm-hmm.
When I first got here, we had an albatross around our necks. Now the albatross is gone. Well, I'm not going to say that. There's some feathers.
So some lingering.
And on the other 10th Street property, got a, I just call them a semi-nibble. A person who's interested in purchasing the property. Had a conversation with them. They're in a very preliminary stage, and I encouraged them to reach out to Willie Horton and the 360 Foundation. They have a similar vision of wanting to do a community center, housing, that type of thing, and we'll see where it goes.
I'm sorry to keep interrupting you.
That's
something that Lakeland really does not have a lot of, community centers.
Mm-hmm.
And that PAL center have seemed to disappear. They don't do anything with it anymore. How do you have that neighborhood without a community center, a place? Because a lot of people in that neighborhood don't have transportation. So their children are kept to that neighborhood, and there's nowhere for them to go. How do we not have a community center for them to go and, like, have activities? I know you got that Simpson Park there,
mm-hmm.
but that really is, like, the bare necessities. There's really nothing there. We have to try to do something about getting a community center in that community, or at least in the community that we service.
But I think one of the issues that you have with the community centers that you have, everybody has to pay. And, like, if you want to have something for the community, like a basketball tournament or whatever, to help the kids, the city still charge you for renting the space to benefit the same community.
You know what? I'm going to get the money for it. And watch, I'm going to start a nonprofit for us that no one's going to have to pay to use that place. Watch. Forget it. Forget these people always want to charge us money.
It's the American way.
No, it's not.
No, no, but the Lakeland way, because where I live, every community center is free for the residents.
Except us. That's
except Lakeland, yeah. Lakeland is,
well,
you know.
Even, you know, home, but it's Georgia. The clubhouse that we have, even though we have an association and we keep up the clubhouse, even if the parents don't pay the fees, like we have swim teams and all the tennis courts, the children get to use it because we want them occupied, not getting in the stuff. We go after their parents, and you can actually, our bylaws are written where you can actually garnish the wages if they don't pay by a certain time. So we always get our money, but that's why, because we want to make sure that the swim team exists.
Yeah.
I've had the house since 99, and we still have a swim team, and I know it because when I come home and I'm trying to get down the street, the car's double parked, trying to get from the main street and the tennis courts and everything else. So maybe if, you know, I don't know what's really happening with PAL, but again, we had the building, but we lost, we gave it back to the city because the HOA, the homeowners did not want to continue to have that in their assessment because it was too expensive for them.
And I have to check with Mr. Robinson, but I believe they got a change of leadership at PAL.
Okay.
Because I know he was on leave.
Who's that? Who's that?
Abrams.
Yeah. He was on leave.
He seems to have been on permanent leave for the last 2 years because he could never reach
them. I know, and I think that's why he was put on leave.
Yeah.
And so I know Mr. Robinson was trying to save him. I don't know if he was successful or not. Have to check. But yeah, I remember we scheduled a meeting.
Yeah.
You know, spoke with him personally, got confirmation. And then we show up for the meeting, all the doors are locked, lights are off. And we're like, okay.
Who makes that appointment? The police or the mayor?
Well, he's city staff, if I'm not mistaken.
He's part of city staff.
Yeah, so he's under Tony Delgado. But I guess he just did, was unavailable to enough people that someone finally complained to the right person. The other item, and then I have to write the resolution, and I kind of deliberately did not include that resolution with the board packet because I didn't want, you know, sometimes the press leaves out board packets, and then when they see that, they'll show up wanting information, and that's on the purchase of the 200-unit Covington Cove apartments. And had a good conversation with the potential lender. They were very interested in doing the deal. As a matter of fact, they offered additional monies to fund other projects. And then also, they also did not want to come out of pocket with any cash because you know, the sale price is set, so we have to cut that check at that amount to the seller.
Yeah.
And so, but they did offer some different terms. They offered a lower interest rate, like 4.375 to 4.5. 40-year term, you know, initially, and then they said I can even do the interest-only payments for a period of years, just let them know what we're going to do. I haven't run the numbers yet, but I will run them in the next day or so. I'm trying to finish up the demo dispo stuff. And because what I want to do is to make sure that the property can carry the mortgage by itself, because we don't want to, for it to be a financial burden on the housing authority, especially with us having, you know, been coming out of recovery and don't need to go in and accumulate a lot of additional debt on top of other things. And so basically don't want to dip into our other resources to fund this project. And so, and we have, and also we had a conversation with the seller and the mediator yesterday. And it was a kind of get to know you conversation. We explained what the housing authority does, the experience of our staff, and our ability to not just purchase the property, but also to maintain the property once we purchase it. And granted, if we come to an agreement with the seller, it still has to be approved by Fulana Finance Corporation. And the seller is pushing for a $1.5 million non-refundable deposit. And he's in that situation was done with that. But I don't think you want, I don't want to do that. And because he said that's typically what they do, but we are late in the game because this, we've probably been out there for a year. Mm-hmm. And then a similar size project over in Sanford where it was 200 units, about 27 million. And, but they held it for like 8 months during the negotiations and stuff. And so I'm thinking they had a much longer negotiation period than we did because they also got some 9% tax credits. But because it's been out there for a year, we have to negotiate the contract by April 27th. And that is when the seller wants to have the non-refundable. But that's not what we want to do. We will want to provide it, have it come non-refundable at the end of the due diligence period. Because the lender has been told that, hey, we can close it in 45 to 60 days. And so we'll have a second call with the lender on Thursday of next week. But we're also going to reach out to, I'm going to speak to the mediator and then also to Fulana Finance Corporation if we're able to speak with them. But they're, like everybody else, short-staffed. And but what we'll be asking the board to do is to basically approve the letter of intent, which I had to submit by March 31st, and then also authorize me to enter into negotiations with the seller, and then bring a contract back to the board for approval. We have to do a special board meeting for that, maybe like on the 26th or 25th, something like that, rather than deadline the 27th. That's if we can come to some type of agreement, because that, I know I don't want to have $1.5 million tied up for 6-8 months and then can lose it, you know, so.
And the letter of intent was sent in on March.
Okay, so we had to send that in. Yes, that's right. Okay, that was a hard deadline set by Fulana Finance Corporation. So we had to do that in order to get the contract with the seller. So that's where we are with that. And put it up to the full board for discussion. But I answer the questions you all may have here. But that's about it. Because the different other deal, the mediator told us that of the 70 deals he worked on, only one has been successful. And if they ask that $1.5 million fund, I can see why only one was successful. But
they're holding pretty firm to that $1.5 non-refundable, it appears.
It appears at this point, but we'll talk, because I'd like to think that anything negotiable, and I think it'll be probably up to Fulana Finance Corporation, as opposed to being able to, because if it's up to the seller, of course he's going to stick to that, because it's to his advantage.
Yes.
But we'll see. Because one of the things we looked at is that, you know, the reality is that, you know, we arrived late in the process. And so a lot of our leverage is kind of, you know, taken away from us. And so plan B would be like, should this fall through, just find another project where that credit's about to expire, but don't have no more time on the clock. And the credit of the lender is willing to not only do this, but do multiple deals, you know, with the housing authority. And so, and I did not reveal to the seller who the lender was, because we also are giving our TD Bank an opportunity as well, because they have all our accounts.
Yeah.
I don't expect them to be it, but we'll see what they come up with. Because the advantage with the lender, if we're going to have a conversation like this, is that they're new to the area, and so they're willing to give us a little more flexible terms
with the bank,
because they're trying to get into the area. So,
okay, so that $1.5 million, they want that to be in place when they sign the contract?
Within 5 days of signing the contract.
And not after the due diligence period.
Right. I'll think we want to have to do it. Because as I shared with him, I was like, you know, you want me to come in 1.5 million and you give me limited access to the property.
We don't even know
property.
Where we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, that's... That about view is a little unreasonable.
Yeah.
He's
yeah, we can't put the housing authority money at risk like that, you know. So,
yeah.
If they insist on it, it looks like, you know, we'll have to find another deal.
Yeah, exactly.
We're not going to go for that.
Yeah.
All righty. Yeah. That brings you up to date, huh?
Yeah, that's what I talked about.
Okay. All right. Well, that's enough. Been busy. Okay, housing operations.
Yeah, the only thing I have is the pod. Trainers, they came down from Washington, D.C. They trained the staff, the section staff, on the new inspection system. But they still solving and trying the different, because it's a new program for them. And the people that came down, they really knowledgeable, but some of them are contractors of the government, so... You know, they're trying to finish the product, but they're not ready to launch everything yet. It's, you know, I think they're like a year away from even trying to implement. But the training was good. The staff were happy. We met some of the trainers, and, you know, they were really, they knew what they were doing. But it's going to take some time for them to implement. In the meantime, it's going to be like, we're going to have to do like a dual system type process. But the staff is okay with that too. So, other than that, everything else is going great as of March, because in April, we had three residents in West Bartow that died. Within the same 5 days.
Was it the water?
No, I think I'll tell you later. So, but you know, other than that, everything is good.
So we have three available units. The
complex in West Bartow.
West Bartow.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was like one after another, like boom, 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 boom. But you know. That happened from time to time over there. But.
Okay. Any resolutions coming up out of here? No resolutions?
No.
Okay. Financials.
Okay, COCC. We have positive NOI of $11,788 for the period. And $36,685 for year to date. Our cash is $58,008, which is a little less on the balance sheet that's within the cash report, which tells me, you know, there's probably $2,000 in checks that need to clear. So that's good. Section 8. We do have negative NOI for the period and year-to-date in both the admin part of the grant as well as the half contract. Mm-hmm. And that is still due to the fact that we have money in reserves. If you look at the actual cash, well, I'm sorry, the balance sheet as well as the cash flow, you see there's $456,000 in total cash, mm-hmm. of which you've got a good $333,000 in reserves. And according to HUD regulations, we either have to absorb residents from other housing communities or issue vouchers. Until we start spending up that money, there we're going to see a decrease in the amount of money that we get every month for HAP. Okay. So when you look at the statement of operations and you're looking at the Section 8 grant revenue coming in and you see it at negative 10%, negative 8%, that's why. We got to get through those reserves, but of course we're always cautious when we're spending because we know what happened. I guess when I was coming in 2012, things go up and down. At some points you get lots of cash, and other points you get no cash. So you kind of just try to get the vouchers issued, but you still want to hold some back in case things.
And this is one of those programs that the more fiscally responsible you are, the more punishment you get.
So
every year, 1 year you're going to save money, and then the next year you're going to look like you're losing money, but you're not really losing, and then the following year you're going to... So it's a game number, but... Numbers game.
Okay, public housing. Again, I'll turn everybody's attention to the yellow because we have negative NOI of $11,832 for the period, $4,595 for year to date. And the reason why I pulled that out is because I want to take out the fact that we had that sale of $1.3 million that really made the numbers look good. Mm-hmm. Now, public housing, if you look at the rents and the rental income, is within 3.4% of what we anticipated above that, so they are collecting. But the first 3 months of the year, HUD is actually looking at your subsidy, see if they over-subsidize you the previous year, and then they're looking at your request that you have for the current year. Although March, we got less subsidy January through March, when we got April subsidy, they realized they underfunded us, so you'll see that they made the adjustments in April. And their actual statement of operations will look better. And then when you look at the balance sheet, we have $61,009 in total cash, which, am I looking at the public house? I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong thing. We have $2,048,000 in total cash, which is close to what we're showing on the cash statement. And I'll give you just a reminder that with Williamstown closing, you're going to have cash that's going to transfer from AMP 1 to Williamstown because HUD has to make sure all the money under construction is available and not inadvertently expended.
Yeah, and with public housing too, it's one of those programs that for the first 3 months you're still operating on the old budget approval from Congress. As soon as Congress approved the new money, then in April, that's when they assign more or less. Some HAPS authorities, they get less money, some they get more. We were lucky to get more. So.
No, but we've already gotten more in April because if you look at Dakota, mm-hmm. we see that what we thought we were going to get for subsidy was for the period, 8% less, almost 9%, year to date, 6%, but which causes us to have a negative NOI of $7,641 for the period and $5,513 for year to date. But when they typically have been giving us in the last 6 months of 2016, in the first 3 months of this year, like $5,000 mm-hmm. a month, we actually got $9,000 for April. So they realized they'd underfunded us. Yeah, so the reason why I could say that with confidence is because I already drawn down the money. It's in the bank.
Even for Hampton Hills, we got money.
Yeah, and we didn't think we'd get any money. Yeah, Hampton Hills, actually, they gave us $5,749 that I drew down on April 3rd. I mean, it hit the account on April 3rd. I drew it down on March 31st. So they realized that we've been running tight, and they had been underfunding us, and they're making up for it in April by looking at the trends from last year and this year. So that's why when I don't get too worried that we have negative NOIs, because I know they made the adjustment and it actually hit, it's in the account. The balance sheet for Dakota, our cash should be $39,000, and we're to the penny as far as with the cash statement, cash and the balance sheet. Renaissance at Washington Ridge, despite receiving lower subsidy, they had a positive NOI, $5,090 for the period, $29,751 for year to date. You do have some instances where we had additional spending for the period with tenant services, and we're even over budget for year to date. But remember, we had that event on March 24th, and the property manager was very instrumental in raising money. That money's hitting the account in April, so that's why you don't see it. So she not only had the event, but she actually got donors to provide funds and give away gifts and all those things, and that you'll see that difference in April. Looking at the balance sheet, we have $1.2 million in cash, which is consistent with the cash report. And then one of the things you'll notice on all the properties is water and sewer has been higher than anticipated. Water, sewer, and garbage. So that's, instead of saying that 10 different times, I just tell you up front, if you're looking at where the variance is on the standard items, that's where it's at. Colton Meadow, positive NOI, $6,666 for the period. $22,647 for year to date. One thing I forgot to mention for Renaissance that I shouldn't have forgotten is we had a REAC inspection last month. A lot of the money they spent inside the units was in preparation for that. She got a 87 on her REAC, which is just phenomenal considering the property is coming at the end of its compliance period. So that always helps us in our scoring for FOSS with the part of the FDS, so I wanted to make sure that I don't take anything away from her. She did a tremendous job, but also they had additional spending at Renaissance in preparation for that REAC inspection. There's nothing extraordinary to point out about Colton. Their cash is $656,000, which is consistent with the statement of cash. Bonnet Shores, they have a positive NOI for the period, $6,087 before depreciation, $7,015 for year to date. Bonnet got inspected by the investor on March 31st. They had a good inspection. Mm-hmm. Also, she did spend money getting prepared for that inspection, but the bottom line is Bonnet Shores to pay back every dime of deferred developer fees. They don't owe any money. So they do have the ability to spend more money focusing on their properties. They've met their commitment. And their balance sheet shows cash of $819,000. Cash statement is $818,000, so that's just an outstanding check issue. The Manor at West Bartow has positive NOI of $3,854 for the period, $20,607 for year to date. Let's see, their statement in cash in comparison to the balance sheet is $534,830, which is very close. Again, an issue with outstanding checks probably. And then Hampton Hills, even though it has negative NOI, and you can see that the property manager, despite having one person that's unemployed and not paying the rent we anticipated, even the NOI before depreciation is, negative 12, 13, negative 168. But in April, they got $5,749 when we thought they weren't going to get a dime. Mm-hmm. So she will definitely use that wisely because she's been running her staff lean to make sure that property operates. And then their total cash is
$231,989. That's right.
Right. So with the statement in cash. Youth bill, as always, I have to look at it in comparison with CLCC because for the longest we shared a bank account. Their NOI is positive $7,009 for the period, but negative $6,281 for year to date. We still got to reconcile that $76,000 in cash to see whether it's actually owed from the Masters or CLCC. That's why I'm not going to jump for joy about CLCC having positive NOI $35,000 because we may owe that to youth bill. Depending on once they get all the expenses mapped out. The auditor will be here the week of June 12th to do the audited financials, so I know my staff will have to have it resolved before they get here. So pretty soon I should be able to get that issue corrected. And again, when you look at the cash that we know is youth bills, ending balance of $6,064 is consistent. It's just the $76,000. That we have to flush out for
that's
when
it's in the master account. Mm-hmm.
Right. Grant report. We had two milestones that I wanted to highlight. The first is very important because, again, it plays in the FOSS. We have to have 90% obligations of the funds before 4/12/2019. And if you look at your backup documentation, and it's a page, oh, this is two-sided, Brenda. Oh, but I could pass around the one from mine. I made a mistake. I didn't realize it was two-sided when I copied it for you, so I had to make sure it prints different on the board report. But I will pass this to you. You can see in ELOC that on April 6th, we made the 90% obligation. That's what's highlighted in yellow. So that money's secure, and that means when it comes to capital funds, we'll get all of the points for capital funds in REACT. Okay. Then also what I noticed last report that I think you forgot to add the Ross Service Coordinator grant that we received, the $219,185, so that's also highlighted because I've included that in your grant report so that we can start tracking it. And then the last piece of financial documentation that I wanted to do was give you evidence that HUD really did approve the closing and that all that RHF funding and Hope 6 funds that we've talked about for the 4.5 years that I've been here is truly obligated. Here's the HUD approval letter from March 31st and the attachments that show that they approved the total development budget of $6,687,472 for the project. And you can see all the different funds. If you look at the very last sheet, which I call Attachment 2D, because that is your permanent sources and uses. When you look at first increment, you see $775,800. And I guess the difference in the grant report is this A and B combined. But all the ones that are B total up to that 775.8. Then you have 1.3 million in second increment to get to the totals that's secured with this deal. And then you've got the 1.9 million in Hope 6, so it's a done deal. The contract is supposed to be breaking ground tomorrow. So equipment, I got the insurance certificate yesterday, so they actually can mobilize on site tomorrow, and that's still the plan. So I got to take pictures because HUD needs to send them to D.C. to prove that we're actually under construction.
Yeah. You got to send them some dirt from the ground over there also.
Well, the important thing to recognize is that money that was not already approved in the project under construction, the administration is looking at recapturing it. So for anybody who's not under construction, they probably won't have any way to get an extension. So that's why it's so important to have proof that not only that we closed, but we actually got equipment on site. So.
Good job.
Well, yes, Miss, the money was in the bank. The money's in the bank, but it's not in our account. I have to submit. I have to submit draws to both Jacksonville and Miami. Miami approved the whole six. Jacksonville approved the RHF. And then we control the public housing reserves of $1,000,001 that'll come from there. So that's what'll come out of the public housing account and be transferred to the a separate account strictly for Williamstown.
So the money's in somebody's bank.
Mm. Right. So what'll happen is whenever I do draw requests, everybody who's got to pay will get the same package at the same time, and then anything coming from HUD will go directly into the public housing master to be transferred to Williamstown to pay the bills, and then our piece will already be in an account for Williamstown.
Okay. Any questions from anybody relative to the financials? Good. Okay. The resolutions will be ready for the meeting.
Yes. And probably be more to you probably around Friday morning.
Okay. Yeah, all right, good. Okay. Any new business? Anything new? Okay, all right. Other than that, Commissioner Pimentel, do you have any words of wisdom for us?
Good to go. I mean, we're really doing,
we're doing
great. This
we're
is going to be a phenomenal year for us. And, you know, for the rest of the board, it has to be, are you going to believe me or your lying eyes? I mean, people complain about how bad we're doing, but we're doing the opposite of that.
Yeah.
People complain how bad the executive director and his staff are doing, but we're doing the opposite of that. I mean, at what point do you accept this agency is doing phenomenal under its leadership and stop the nonsense?
Yeah.
You know, we have all this development. I've been on this board for a bit now, and no one has done anything. I mean, I've seen money go out of this board before, and I wondered where it went to, and it went to nowhere, but I'm saying it went to somebody's pocket that was no one in this room, you know, and now money is going where it's supposed to go, and here's where they have the issue. I just don't get it.
Well, I think what people fail to remember is that if you look at a traditional business, even when you hire an employee, it usually takes 5 years for you to get the return on the investment because they're learning your policies. They may know the business, but unless you're hiring a partner and they're bringing business with them, if you hire an employee, you've got to wait for the deals to be going because anything that they take over is somebody else's deal who was prior to them. You don't really get where your deals are going and you're getting the cash flow from it until a 5 year period. But everybody gets anxious because it's hard to sit and wait and say, I spent all this money bringing in a new team and I don't have an event yet, or I don't have, but we definitely had a lot of challenges. And so it's good to see this day come, and maybe it'll be real for everybody when they actually see equipment in on the ground and moving around.
Yeah, you know,
I hope that's all they need to see is, oh wow, this is really happening. You know, maybe that's when things will change.
I hope so, but I did think of one thing. We'll probably need to discuss at the board meeting, the commissioner of travel policy, and as to who is going to handle travel. Because, you know, back when we were in a lot of different directions with the finance and everything, some commissioners took their own travel, so, you know, with their spouse and everything. And, but, you know, we said that Brenda would handle, you know, all travel for the commissioners. And if your spouse is traveling with you, she will book the flights and let the commissioner know who can then book their spouse's flight. And that's really done, one, to protect the age, but also to protect the commissioner as well.
Yeah.
Because when the public looks at it and say, oh, you're booking your own travel, And even though the commissioner made a good faith effort to get the cheapest price, so I said, well, what proof do we have that you did it? And especially if, you know, you fly and run on airlines like what Barry flies, who never gives discounts. And I say that because there was an issue with this, with a recent trip by a commissioner,
right,
whereby they got there and they booked their own flight, and then they decided they needed to stay an extra day. Okay. And so I don't want my staff to be put in a position where they can be blamed for that. Mm-hmm. You know, and stuff. And so if the board would come up with a policy.
Do we have a policy right now?
Well, I thought it was that, you know, that the Brenda, you know, the staff would book all commissioners' travel. The flights, the hotel, rent a car, new one, whatever. And then they would coordinate with the commission they wanted their spouse to travel with them. Okay. And that's where it's been with every government that I've worked with. I was Highland Third, I was a city government, I was a county government. And I think the state has that policy.
Well, one way to resolve it is put it in writing. Mm-hmm. Have HR or somebody to come to put it in writing, we'll get the board to approve it, and that's it. And it's no longer, you know, if it's a policy right now that's not a written policy that you can point to and say, if it's a policy just by word of mouth, then we need to just...
But I would like for that director to come from the board.
Yeah,
because, you know,
that's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah. No, bring it up at the meeting.
You guys are the bosses.
Yeah, yeah. No, bring it up at the meeting, and then we can say we want a written policy.
Okay.
That everybody will understand that that's how travel is done.
Do we have a policy in place
that's
for employees when
sounds
you're
like, sounds like we don't.
When you're sending employees out?
We know those are Brenda.
Employees aren't allowed to book their own travel.
But is that a policy we have in place in regards to a written policy for employees?
The handbook?
We have to look and see if it's in there, but that's where it always is. You know, we don't let staff book their own travel. Because, like I said, that's where it's been every community that I've worked with.
Yeah, well, I think it should be part of our handbook that there's a policy for employees and there's a policy for the commissioners.
Okay.
Because otherwise you're just going to be chasing your tail.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's all right. Say if I wanted to travel, it's all right for me to look and see what flights I would like to take and all that, but I pass the information on to Brenda to make it actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Not go ahead and book your own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So. I just think, you know, we need to make it clear. Because you got seven commissioners that will do it seven different ways if you leave it up to them.
And put in the policy once we have reviewed the workshop agenda and booked the travel according to the agenda, unless it's a disaster or whatever, we just can't be changing because it costs us more money to extend your stay.
Well, I know one thing, we can't count on legal counsel to help with this situation.
Yeah. Well, I think that I can look at the whatever workshops I want to attend, check them off, to it, and give that all to Brenda,
and
let her book it.
How we do it.
And
once we've booked it according to the agenda, you can't decide you're going to stay another day because...
That's the issue. The commission decided that they were going to stay another day. They called us like...
But that affects your flights and everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
No,
so
his flight wasn't affected. Our budget was affected.
Because, see, obviously, he either had already booked his flight...
With the extra day already in there.
Right, and he didn't. And then, you know, he didn't tell us. And then, you know, we had to fork up our extra day
for
the
hotel.
Yeah, because if you want to stay extra time, which is your right... You know, with family, they should stay with family.
I think, you know, there's all kind of things here now that are coming up. I think that if the conference they're attending ends on a certain day,
mm-hmm.
and they want to go another day, that's on them.
That's on them.
Right.
Because if the conference is
ending on Saturday, there's no reason for you to be there until Monday.
And I was going to say, typically, even if you stay in the same room, what employees do is they let the hotel know, and then they give them their card for that for the extra day.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what we do.
And see, the hotel was $300-something a night.
Yeah, and not only
that,
but he must have known that he was going to stay the extra day because he had to book his flight that way. And that's a non-refundable ticket.
Yeah.
And so to change, you can't change.
Right.
You can't change your flight arrangements.
Yeah. You know, it shouldn't be on us.
So he had to book it that extra day without really putting it into the system.
Yeah.
That's why Brenda makes a flight arrangement, then you don't run into those problems.
Right.
If you want to stay an extra day, you got to stay right up front.
And it has to be, and they do provide, you remember when we went to a couple of them, they give you a full agenda and the days and tell you everything that's happening each day, because there are certain events you have to sign up for and they have to pay for. And so you know, all right, I'm going to be there Monday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then Thursday is a closing, but no one usually stays for the closing ceremonies because they want to get the earliest flight out of that.
Well, I asked.
Yeah, so without a policy in the States.
Yeah, I asked. I said, are you attending any of the extracurricular stuff or any of the closing stuff? No. If it's extra money, no. I said, no, because it was 8:30 at night. He said, no, we'll be getting out there, as soon as the class is in. We're not going to any extra stuff. Then we decided to go to the extra night gala that made us have to pay for another night.
Yeah. Well, that's why all of the booking has to be done in a central place. You know? I mean, you can pick and choose what you want to do, but then turn it over to Brendan to book it.
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah. We're not taking away the opportunity for you to set your own flights and how you want to travel.
Right.
So, all right. Put it. That's what I'm saying. We need a policy that's in writing. A policy for if we have a policy for the employees, then we should have a policy for the board.
Yeah, and
for commissioners.
Like I said, if the board does a motion for that, we'll go ahead and do it.
Yeah, to develop the policy and bring it back for approval.
And that's all it is. Develop it, then bring it to us, we'll approve it.
Yeah, if we don't have one, then we should go up and, what we're saying.
Motion at the meeting.
Yeah, no, what I'm saying is that if we don't have a written policy, then we're going to develop one for the Commission of Travel.
That's
and
right.
Then the motion will be to develop a thing and bring it back for approval.
Okay. And it's just amending the, almost like the travel budget policy. It's adding to that.
Yeah.
You know, your budget added to that policy. Get it? You know, I tell you, there's some things this board wants to penny pinch, but then when it's personal, they're willing to splurge. Let's go to Paris. You know, it's amazing. Don't you think that?
Yeah.
Mom, we have public housing
units. I would rather see any extra money that we're going to spend be given to the staff for the great job that they've done getting us to where we are.
Oh, you just got a fight now.
Because we need to talk.
I know.
What you got in that water?
Hey, while he's drinking the water, Captain, wait a minute.
Hey, I'm going closer.
maybe I'm being too biblical, but the Bible says a servant is worthy of their hire.
That's
and
true.
You pay them what they were, those that aren't hacking and making it, get rid of them.
Amen.
Pay the ones that are doing the job.
Do you notice every time I mention that, let's do that, I always get a fight from the same two people?
Oh, yeah.
Always get a fight from the same two people. And those are the same two people who are willing to spend our money on themselves. But to spend it on the staff, how dare you?
Yeah.
Aren't we in a financial crisis? But can I spend $3,000 to take my family to New Jersey? You understand? No, it can't be both ways. It has to be one way or no way.
What's that travel budget for commissioners?
I think we get like $1,800 commission.
Total budget?
25.
No, it's...
Total budget for commission travel.
I think it's $24,000 for the year.
I might get crazy and make a motion to have that money go to the staff for 1 year. Commissioner,
no. Oh. Oh, I remember because you said we can do online trading. And that, that made the meeting 3 hours.
You know, and I
want to go to the farmer.
You weren't here when I said that. I said all that spare money that I said, take that money and use it back on. No, all of a sudden they were all.
And we only have one commissioner, the new young lady, and let her go and everybody else stay home for a year.
That's not going to happen. They're booking stuff already. I think people are going to everywhere, you know. I have to redo my commissioner training, and I still haven't gone nowhere to do it. I don't want to go there. I don't want to do this. It's the traveling that I just don't feel like doing. You know, get me a class I can take at home, you know.
Well, no further business. It's 3:05, and the meeting will be adjourned. That's what we're doing. I get crazy.
Let me turn the mics off on the camera.
I'm telling you, we have to have a couple of Jesus talks.